My lip was trembling when I left, but I held my feelings in, for there on the landing stood Hatsumomo. Mr. Becker was waiting to finish tying her obi while Auntie, with a handkerchief in her hand, stood in front of Hatsumomo, peering into her eyes.
"Well, it's all smeared," Auntie said. "There's nothing more I can do. You'll have to finish your little cry and redo your makeup afterward."
I knew exactly why Hatsumomo was crying. Her boyfriend had stopped seeing her, now that she'd been barred from bringing him to the Okia. I'd learned this the morning before and felt certain Hatsumomo was going to blame her troubles on me. I was eager to get down the stairs before she spotted me, but it was already too late. She snatched the handkerchief from Auntie's hand and made a gesture calling me over. I certainly didn't want to go, but I couldn't refuse.
"You've got no business with Chio," Auntie said to her. "Just go into your room and finish your makeup."
Hatsumomo didn't reply, but drew me into her room and shut the door behind us.
"I've spent days trying to decide exactly how I ought to ruin your life," she said to me. "But now, you've tried to run away and done it for me. I don't know whether to feel pleased. I was looking forward to doing it myself."
It was very rude of me, but I bowed to Hatsumomo and slid open the door to let myself out without replying. She might have struck me for it, but she only followed me into the hall and said,
"If you wonder what it will be like as a maid all your life, just have a talk with Auntie. Already you're like two ends of the same piece of string. She has her broken hip, you have your broken arm. Perhaps one day you'll even look like a man, just the way Auntie does."
"There you go, Hatsumomo," Auntie said. "Show us that famous charm of yours."
Back when I was a little girl of 5 or 6 and had never so much as thought about Kyoto once in all my life, I knew a little boy named Noboru in our village. I'm sure he was a nice boy, but he had a very unpleasant smell, and I think that's why he was so unpopular. Whenever he spoke, all the other children paid him no more attention than if a bird had chirped or a frog had croaked, and poor Noboru often sat right down on the ground and cried. In the months after my failed escape, I came to understand just what life must have been like for him, because no one spoke to me at all unless it was to give me an order. Mother had always treated me as though I were only a puff of smoke, for she had more important things on her mind, but now all the maids and the cook and granny did the same.